For your thoughts and prayer with us while we're at Mansfield the week before last. We had a really great week of ministry and just sharing with the church in Mansfield. A really great excitement in the church there at the moment, and good things happening. And Pastor Nathan, a young pastor, doing well there. And they've been really excited and reaching out into that town of Mansfield there. And a few weeks ago, they had an outreach, and it was about Love Mansfield. And what they did, they had took up and bought all goods and articles and coffee vouchers, petrol vouchers, all that type of things, vouchers to go to a restaurant and that. And they went around the town handing them out, toys for kids and stuff. And so they had a great time doing that, and they came back and together and all shared their stories and testimony of just how people reacted to, you know, being given a gift and with no strings attached. And they found it very hard to cope with some of these people in the town. They didn't want to take them. And they felt that it was a joke and all that sort of thing. And one person, this lady, she was given a heap of kids' toys, you know, a gift pack. And she took them to the police station because she thought that it was a hoax and they were stolen, and she didn't want to have anything to do with them. So the police came and gave them back to the folk at the church. So what I'm saying is that they're just enjoying a really good season at the moment, and what good God is doing in their midst. And so they're really excited about, you know, a new beginning, a new pastor and all that. So it's really good. And thanks again. We do value your prayer and your support and your partnership with us as we go out. So we do value that. But today I'd like to share from the Old Testament, the book of Micah. And as we know, Micah was an Old Testament prophet. And I believe he is a contemporary of Isaiah. Both Isaiah and Micah commenced their ministry in the southern kingdom of Judea and Samaria and regions around about. But I really feel both these prophets, they were mission orientated prophets. They were mission, had that mission in their hearts, you know, to go out to reach the lost at any cost. And even Micah, he was prepared to strip down to his undergarments to get the message across or to seek attention. But they were two great men, two prophets who just had the desire of God in their heart. They heard from God, they listened to God, and they done what God, they were obedient to what was spoken to them about going out and declaring God's message, hey, it's time to change your ways and to come back to me and to be a part of my wondrous kingdom, to shake off all the things that were holding them down at that time. But these two prophets, you know, they just went about declaring the message that there is no one like our God. Amen? And I think everyone could put their hands up and say, yes, there's no God like my God. And we rejoice in that. So both these prophets, they set about saving, you know, the message that was declared upon the land at that time, that to see these people saved from in eternal damnation because of their backslidden ways and their adulterous ways. They'd turned their lives over to believing in idols and having all those sorts of things. So that was on both Isaiah and Micah's heart, to really go out to speak the message and declare, hey, it's time, because God is going to bring judgment upon the land at that time. But back to Micah. Micah's name predicates a likeness to the Lord, meaning he who is like Yahweh. He who is like Yahweh. But here we see in God's word, Micah, he had a great concern for Israel and Judah, and being prompted by the Spirit of God, he set about declaring the impending judgment that was about to come upon the nation unless they listened and turned their heart and came before God with a repentant heart. And the people who were prepared to change their ways and stand righteous before their Almighty God. And we could have that first slide you got up. Thank you, Caleb. And reading from Micah chapter 7, you can read along there with me on the screen there. And speaking here about sorrow for Israel's sin. But in the previous chapter there, in chapter, chapter 6, and we see here how God pleads with Israel. God gave them warning. He gave them time. And he said, "Hear now what the Lord says, and arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you, strong foundations of the earth." That was in chapter 6. But coming to chapter 7, reading the first seven verses about sorrow for Israel's sin. And this is Micah. He said, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among them, men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. And the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity." And it says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises up against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household." Here's the good news. Micah says, "Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God, for the God of my salvation." He says, "My God will hear me." You believe that God will hear? That's his promise there. And we see here, there, Micah declaring that word. But there's a really tough one there. It says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion." But we have to believe there that in that time in the land, and in the commentary it says here, "Do not trust in a friend" is not a universal principle. Try and get that message this morning. It's not a universal principle that we don't trust our friends, but is counsel strictly for the time of apostasy, in which no one assumed to be trustworthy. People were very distrustworthy in that period of time because of everything that was happening in the land. They just didn't trust their own brothers, their mothers, their fathers, their brothers, sisters, all that type of thing. But it's different now because we've become into a new, excuse me, a new dispensation of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's set us free, and it's not like that now. I trust every person in this church that you know that we are a godly people. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we don't speak evil of against one another. We are trusted. We have that heart for one another. That this is the type of people we are. We believe in each other. And so the message went out there, but just keep moving on there. But just about, I believe, just about every Christian begins their walk with Jesus having a mindset. And that mindset is that they all want, all they want to do is to serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? I'm sure that's on everyone's heart today, that hey, I want to serve God and I want to be glad in what I'm doing. I want to serve the Lord well and I want to be happy about doing what I'm doing. Serving the Lord with gladness and just walking in the path of holiness and righteousness. That's the type of people that God wants us to be. Holy and righteous type of people. That we will be pleasing to the Lord. That we will be the type of people that God wants us to be. And we know that the love of God within us constrains us, doesn't it? It's God's love that makes us tick. Amen? It's God's love that makes us tick. That's a part of our character and makeup. But our desire is to please God, isn't it? To please God. And whatever happens over time, I believe, now this is our commitment that we please the Lord, our living God, that we please God. And that as we heard last week from Pastor Chris, you know, as we as we go on in our walk with God, last week Pastor spoke about not veering off track. Amen. You remember that? And I trust he did. It was only a week ago. But we heard last Sunday, you know, about the danger of going off track, about getting out of God's ways and getting into our own ways instead of just keeping our sights set on the Lord and looking to him that he is all sufficient in all things for our lives. And so we live in a time, I believe, where it's it seems to be increasingly harder to find Christians who really desire to live holy and righteous lives before God. You might say, well, that's a bit tough, John. Well, sadly, it's not. It's a fact of life that Christians, I'm not saying everyone, don't get me wrong here, some Christians are lowering their standards and they're accepting things that aren't right in God's sight and, you know, not acceptable for believers. And so, again, it's a concern, a worry that a lot of people don't want to live that holy and righteous life before God. They just seem to want to go to all their own ways. But it's something that we have to be very aware of and be mindful, you know, that things do happen. And so the warning is there. That's what I'm saying this morning. Just as the warning went out to Israel, God's still speaking the same message today. The warning is for us not to veer off track. Stay on track. Keep our heart and mind set on the things of God. And so the warning is there. And if we don't comply with the way God wants us to live, then we're in a very dangerous situation, aren't we? We are. Because, you know, and God gives us ample time and warning, you know. He says, you know the way, walk ye in it. You've heard me say that many times before. But Timothy chapter 3, verse one, if you get that one up, Caleb, please. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last times, that in the last days, perilous times will come." See, even in the New Testament, as in the Old Testament, the warning is still here. It still applies to us today. We're not no different from the people that lived in those times, other than that we have Jesus Christ now, that we don't live under that law, but we still abide by what the law was laid down, the foundation of our very belief today. And there, so as that scripture says there, and just turn over there and read. And from 3 Timothy there, chapter 3. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." See, there's a warning here. And it goes on to say, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good." And it goes on to say even further, "Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And so people, those who just turn away from the things of God, turn their back on the things of God, you know, they're living in dangerous times if that's the way they chose to go. And sadly, many people today, they're choosing lifestyles that are not pleasing to God. And things that we just need to be aware of, because things are happening beyond our belief in times today. And so we just have to prepare our hearts to make sure that at least we are right, that each one of us is right before God and walking in his ways, abiding in his word, being obedient in all these things. So... So, you know, who can doubt that? You know, if this were the only criteria by which we're judged in the times in which we live, you know, that this would not be the case. And day by day, the times are growing more perilous, more dangerous, aren't they? We see world events, things are happening, even things in our local government, in our Victorian state government, in our federal government, things that you and I'm sure, are not pleased with, and you would never agree to some of these things that the government are proposing at the moment. But so we just need to be aware, to have our hearts right and there. But here we see the prophet Micah, he faced much the same situation in his day. And his cry was one of woe, or how bad things are for him. He says, "For I am in a land of evil, and there is no solution to the troubles I see." And we see troubles everywhere. We have troubles in our own lives at different times. But we know there is a solution. We know there is a way out. And that way is in the person of Jesus Christ, who loves each one of us and wants the best of us. And so we see here today that in Micah's message there, Micah compares himself to a summer fruit. But what does it mean? What is summer fruit? What is summer fruit? Anyone got any ideas? Fruit we eat. What about apricots? I love the stone fruits in summer. That's what I see, the summer fruits. All the stone fruits start coming in, apricots, peaches, nectarines, plums, all those sorts of things. But wonderful things, isn't it? We go into the supermarket today and all the year round we have summer fruit. We say the fruit comes is grown in some summer season in other countries. So we get fruit from America and Chile and a few other places, even from China, it comes in. So we're in this position where we have summer fruit all the year round. And I think that's sad in a way, because at different times you really long for some of this summer fruit, which only comes in summer. So we looked at that, but in Micah's time there in the land of Israel, there were vast vineyards apparently of grapes and figs in abundance. And so in the springtime of the year, you know, these plants would start to grow and develop and become a sweet, sumptuous fruit that they could all eat and enjoy. And these fruits would all be harvested to provide food and drink and for all that type of thing. But in doing that, as the harvesters went about picking grapes and figs and all that stuff, they would miss a few. They would miss some. And so happened then, the fruit left on the vines and the trees would begin to ripe very quickly, and it would dry and shrivel up. But then the poor and the hungry would go into the fields, and they would glean any leftover fruits. And as we know in Book of Ruth, I think it was where Ruth went into the fields of Boaz to glean the fruit, that leftover fruit from the vines, from the trees and all that type of thing. But there she met Boaz and eventually became his wife. So Ruth was able to enjoy the summer fruit in that sense. She found herself a good man. But as I said, the summer fruit here in Australia, I just see that just an awesome provision of God's goodness and blessing, that he wants to give us goodness all the year round, amen? Not just some days, not just in the different season, but God has made it so happen that they've been able to develop the fruits that ripen different places all over Australia in the warmer climates in the Northern Territory and West Australia. We see that happen. So we're just able to enjoy so much of God's blessing and how he's taught man to produce fruit that out of season, so to speak. But God wants fruit in our lives every day. Amen? Every day. But there we see that the people went there gleaning the fruit. But in that way. But coming back to Micah, Micah was comparing himself to that summer fruit. He was probably a bit washed out. He was disillusioned. He was dismayed. He was feeling sad, sorrowful because of the state that he found the people were in, that what had happened to them. And we see here Micah that he was comparing himself, that dryness of the fruit, not feeling useful or feeling any good. And he just... Micah, I believe, he began to feel the abundance of the presence of God and the blessing of God were being lifted upon the nation of Israel. He could see God's presence was not there because of God's people weren't entering into the presence of God, into the things of God. And what Micah seen, he'd seen how the Jews, they had turned from worshipping Jehovah, worshipping God, and now they're worshipping idols. They had turned from God. The blessings were gone. The blessings were gone. The abundance of his presence was gone. And now they face the anger and judgment of God for their failure. We don't want to be a people like that. We want to be found right and before God. Holiness, sanctification, and godliness, as Micah says, they were rare in the land. They were rare in the land. There were so very few who really called upon the name of the Lord. And also, there were very few who would even bow their head to their Father in heaven. Only a remnant remained to worship God and to serve him with all their heart. And there was only a few there. And so this was God's concern for his people. And Micah had that concern also. He wanted to go out and to warn these people, to speak this message. There is still time. There is still time. Come back. Turn your heart back to God. Look to your Saviour, the one who done great and mighty things in the past, wants to do that again. And God still wants to do that in our lives today. If people would come back to God and to see him and worship him as God Almighty, our Creator. Amen? And so, as I said, in a sense, Micah felt as though he'd been left behind. He'd been left behind when the harvest came, and likened himself to be that overripened fruit. But he knew God would be with him. Amen? Because he said in that early verse that I read out this morning that, yea, I will wait upon God. I will look to him. He will answer my prayer. And that was Micah's heart. Even though he was discouraged and downhearted and all that sort of thing, he still sought the face of God. He didn't give up. He still loved God. And he still wanted to serve God. And he still felt the presence and power of God and in his life. And he still lived in holiness with sanctification upon him and righteousness according to the standards of the law that was given in that time. So Micah didn't turn his heart away from God. He still had his confidence in God, and he was still going to look for him. And so even back in that time, how Micah found it hard to find Christians who were willing to, or people of God who were willing to keep their hearts set towards God. They had lost their way and were going in other directions. And sadly, that's happening in today's climate. And it's getting harder and harder in our day to find even Christians who live according to the standards of holiness and righteousness. I said that earlier on. Many people today don't want to hear the message of holiness, about holiness, righteousness and sanctification and all this type of things. They feel it's too condemning, too hard to live up to. But as we know, if we just look to God, let God work in our life, these things will fall into place as we look to him. And even for us here today, you know, we still need to hear these types of messages, don't we? We still need the truth of the words preached, even though sometimes they're hard sayings. Even Jesus spoke the hard sayings. He spoke the hard words to different people along the way as he went ministering throughout the land at that time. And he had to speak hard words. He said, no, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven if you don't follow me, and all this, a few other types of things. But so we just need to hear what it means through these type of messages. We need to hear that to be reminded what it truly means to be a son and a daughter of God. Amen? What it truly means. What that means is we need to be reflecting Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? We need to be reflecting Jesus in our lives. And it still says in 1 Thessalonians, thanks Caleb, there, for God did not call us into uncleanness, but what? Into holiness. God wants us to live a holy life, as I said. The word tells us, you know the way, walk ye in it. And so there, the verses on that PowerPoint says from Hebrews 12:14 also says here, follow peace with all men, not just some, it says with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So the warning is there again about how we are to follow God, how we are to look to God and to walk in his way. So, you know, we can't doubt or question these requirements in those verses. And I say this morning, you know, any person who wants to make heaven their home, if you want to make heaven your home, well, you need to have these thoughts embedded in our hearts. We need to have those embedded in our hearts. And these two scriptures here show us that there cannot be any other way. There's no other way than to what God has called us to be and to do. So God's called us to be a people. And it's one way, Jesus. We sing that song often, you know, one way, Jesus. There's no other way. And that's what we have to be, the type of people. So the day I asked that... our first fruits of our walk in the Lord, you know, our first days, you know, they're great times, aren't they, when we first come to the Lord we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and we walked in that goodness of God and the forgiveness of what our past life might have been. We now walked in God's glory and just rejoicing and being full of God's glory. But for many people, how quickly we begin to settle back into our old ways. It's sad sometimes when we see people go back, sort of backslide. They take a step back instead of going forward, taking steps forward. And as I say, we need an urgency in our step. We need an Isaiah, a Micah heart and spirit to reach the lost, don't we? We need to have that within our hearts. And we don't want to be feeling like a shriveled up grape or apricot or fig or whatever that's left over there for someone else to pick up. But so what I want to say this morning for us, people, spring is here, amen? Spring is here, and it's time to pull out the weeds and let new growth fill our lives, amen? Pull out the weeds, anything that's holding us back, get rid of those things, let them go, and let the presence and the fullness of Jesus Christ flow out through us, amen? And I encourage you to do that. Just ask God to be your teacher. Ask God. Let God teach you. He can do wondrous, great and mighty things in our midst, in our own lives. And ask him, you know, so that you become more sensitive to God's ways. We want to be sensitive to the Spirit, amen? We need to be sensitive in every way, in all of things, and better able to walk in obedience in the things of God. And so what we see in Micah, he displays God's deep passion towards his people. And that still flows toward us today. And it's a passion that we need to continually develop, And we're looking to win the lost, you know, we have to have a passion for people, don't we? We need to have a passion for people and to reach out. We need to be, if our claim is that we love people, then that's what we have to do, don't we? We have to love people. create relationships, build lasting friendships. And that's what God wants us to do, to be a people who are relational. We need to relate to one another. We need to share with one another and to get one another. As I said, build lasting friendships, create relationships. Look, after church service, we go out there for coffee, for tea, for fellowship. And for those, if you don't come, look, the invitation is always there to come and have fellowship. And that's, that way we can get to know one another. That way we can create lasting friendship and relationships. And there is that PowerPoint there also, Caleb, John 13. John 13, verse 34. Okay, words of Jesus, great words. He says it in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you will love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's a commandment. It's not just a saying. It's a commandment that Jesus spoke, and that's a commandment that Jesus expects us to carry out and to do in our lives if we want to be that type of people. This is a new standard that Jesus said. He said, it's a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even though you might not want to love one another. He says, we're saying we must love one another. That's what he wants us to do. And that's the benchmark, that's the standard that's been set. And there's no other option or way out. So it's something that we had better get used to, and that is to love one another. Because if we don't, and if we're not loving one another, we're what? We are in total disobedience to the words of Jesus. I can't put it any plainer than that. That's what Jesus said. It's a commandment. It's something we must do. We're to do that. Love God. Love people. And if we're to continually grow church, our passion for lost has to grow within us. We have to have that passion, first of all, here in this fellowship of believers, that we're to love one another. If we're not loving one another, how can we go out that door and love the community, people that walk by? There's all sorts of people. And I'm sure Pastor Chris would say it the same as I do. That is, he sits in there, not just sits in the office, you're in the office working, but as I'm sure he looks out, he notices people walk by. And I'm sure you have a passion and you sort of start thinking, wonder if that person, what's about their life? You'd want them to know Jesus. And so we have to develop that within our heart, that whoever walks past this building, that somehow the Spirit of God touches them. We want to have this infectious spirit that will flow out into this community. And we can only do that as we develop passion in our hearts, and to reach those who don't know Jesus. And just like Micah, those who love God with all our heart, we depend on the love of Jesus and the price Jesus paid on the cross for our righteousness. We don't have to feel like the summer fruit, the cry of woe is me, and asking all the questions, asking God, where are the foundations that were laid out for my country by those who formed the Constitution? The things that include freedom of religion, our basic Bill of Rights. You might ask, what has happened to laws that once defended the righteous victims instead of the criminals? You might ask or say, God, our springtime harvest has turned to summer, and now most of the blessings that you bestowed upon us as your chosen people are seen no more. We don't want to be that type of people. We want to see God's blessing flow every day in our midst. That people are rejoicing, they're glad, and be able to say, I'm glad to be alive because Jesus is in my life. God's favour is upon me. I just love the favour of God, the way God just pours that out in so many ways that at times we just don't even acknowledge or think about it, because His goodness is upon us all the time. And I'm sure many of you be able to testify of what God has done in your life, how someone has blessed you. Elder Gary spoke about who wants to be blessed today. We all do. I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. I want to see you blessed. I want to see you prosper in every way. I want to see you grow in every way. I want to see the Spirit of God rise up within people and to say, yes, I want to serve with gladness. I was really excited a few weeks ago when you had the coffee training day. Chloe's sister-in-law, was it? She came and done this young lady. She came and done a training course to show us how to make coffee. But you know how she started out that day? She said, as you serve God in this way, I might have the words wrong, but they were words to the effect, to see that as an act of service to God. Something that you love doing, that you're blessing someone out there just through your service, through making a cup of tea or making a cup of coffee. And I thought that was wonderful, a way to teach, to start a training session there, to be able to encourage all the workers there with that, to have that thought in their hearts, in their mind, that it's an act of love, it's an act of a service that you're doing for God to others. You're blessing someone through that act there. But so Micah said, I better start and look to finishing. Micah said, "A good man is the good man has perished from the earth." And Micah, he had searched through the whole of Israel, and he just could not find many upright, good people in the land. He couldn't find many, and that's a sad case. But today, we want to see our land full, don't we? We want to see our land full. And God says our quivers can be full, and we want that to happen in our life, that, you know, our land, our country, our city, this city of Brimbank and beyond will be filled with God's goodness, good people. And so because that's our life today, every day we must be wary of those who would cast a net over us and try to destroy our freedom, our finances, everything that we're so used to having part of our everyday life. We just have to be wary that how that can be eroded away so easily. But so continue to pray for our nation, for our land, and for the goodness that the heritage that this country was formed upon. This is the great safe land of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That was claimed many years ago, hundreds of years ago now, that this would be the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And we want to see the Holy Spirit flourish and flow like a summer fruit in this land today, in our city, in our church. And so we're just finishing up here. You know, there's so many spiritual lessons that we can learn from the book of Micah. And God's people, as I said, you know, we don't want to be downtrodden, downcast, put behind in a position where we can't speak out or have a say that about anything. So let's be on our game, so to speak. And Micah, I feel Micah, he knew about every situation that was facing Israel, and he knew there was an answer to it. And I just like what he said there, that Micah had the answer. He says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait upon the God of my salvation, and he, my God, will hear me. as we know, we've heard many times before, that God is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our salvation. He will hear our cry and he will answer our prayer. And so I say this morning, if you have begun to feel the woe of the summer fruit that has lost its sweetness, if you feel as though you've been left behind as the work of the Lord has moved on, if you desire to be blessed, if you desire to return to look to a life of holiness, a life about sanctification and about righteous living, then look to God. There is no other way, because God hasn't left you alone. He's standing right there, just waiting for you, just waiting for you to turn in repentance, to turn back to God and repent. He's just waiting right there where you left him. And some people have left God. And they'll probably say, "Where are you, God?" He said, "I haven't moved. I haven't moved. I'm still here. Where have you moved? Where have you gone?" So I'll close there this morning. But I just trust and felt burdened as Micah was burdened, that we see a community out there who doesn't know Jesus. That should always weigh heavy on our hearts, should always be a concern for us. Hey, these people need to know Jesus. There's no other way through which they can live. There's no other God in which they can put their hope in, no other God they can put their trust in, other than to the God who loves us all, the God, our God, who created us all, who sacrificed his son Jesus for us to live a life of holiness and to walk in his way, the way that he's given us, that path which he has shown us to lead. But Father God, again this day, we give you all the praise and the glory. We just bless and praise your mighty name. We thank you, Father God, that your heart is toward us. Lord, we just trust that this day, Father, Lord, that your blessing and goodness, your love, your grace and mercy will just continue to flow through our midst, Lord. Flow in our midst. Flow out from us, Father. Lord, that we will be good examples, just as your word is a good example to us. So, Father, we just look to you this day. We thank you for your presence with us this day. We know, Lord, that as we look to you, Lord, things will change. Things will happen, Lord, as we put our hope in you and look to you, because there is no God like you. And we can claim, as Micah claimed, that he would look to his God. And we will look to you, Lord God, that you will do abundantly above what we could ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us. Oh, we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. If you've been challenged by the message this morning or any way, or you need prayer for any situation, just feel free to come forward this morning. And if there's anyone here this morning, if you don't know or don't have the presence of Jesus Christ in your life this day, today is a good time to come forward and to say, "Yes, today I want to make a decision. Today I want to put my hope and trust in Jesus and to follow him all the days of my life," in Jesus' name. Amen.